الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا الذين اتخذوا دينكم هزوا ولعبا من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم لا تتخذوا الذين اتخذوا دينكم هزوا ولعبا من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم والكفار أولياء واتقوا الله إن كنتم مؤمنين. وإذا ناديتم إلى الصلاة اتخذوها هزوا ولعبا ذلك بأنهم قوم لا يعقلون. قل يا أهل الكتاب هل تنقمون منا إلا أن آمنا بالله أكثركم فاسقون. قل هل أنبئكم بشر من ذلك مثوبة عند الله من لعنه الله وغضب عليه وجعل منهم القردة والخنازير وعبد الطاغوت أولئك شر مكانا وأضل عن سواء السبيل. وإذا جاءوكم قالوا آمنا وقد دخلوا بالكفر وهم قد خرجوا به والله أعلم بما كانوا يكتمون. وترى كثيرا منهم يسارعون في الإثم والعدوان وأكلهم السحت لبئس ما كانوا يعملون. لولا ينهاهم الربانيون والأحبار عن قولهم الإثم وأكلهم السحت لبئس ما كانوا يصنعون. صدق الله العظيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهداه وبعد. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن بطن لا يشبع ومن دعاء لا يسمع وبعد. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى آيتك ألا تكلم الناس ثلاثة أيام إلا رمزا واذكر ربك كثيرا وسبح بالعشي والإبكار. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, beloved brothers and dear listeners, Alhamdulillah, it is a great day. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, His will, that has brought us again here and we are meeting once again. If Allah's willed, He could have taken us away, myself or yourself. And who knows, there may be some of us who were taken away, who are not here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah, and may He make the sakarat of maut easy for us. We tend to forget that each one of us is going. It is unfortunate that the deception of this dunya has made us such. That when someone dies, we feel he has died. But we never ever think that we are going next. This is something we need to cure. If I were to ask you today, what is the most important part of your body? What is the most important organ of your body? What would you say? Most probably, most of us would say it's the heart, because when the heart stops, we die. Let me tell you, some people die without the heart stopping. They are brain dead. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, and may He cure those who are brain dead. For indeed, it is His power that can cure anyone. So some of us would say it is the heart. Others will say it is the brain, because a person who doesn't have a brain is mad. Someone else will say the eyes, or the nose, the ears, the tongue. Does this not show you? From the differences of the answers, do we not learn that every single part of the body is important? A person who doesn't have one finger, ask him how he feels. It was taken away from him. A person who doesn't have one eye, ask him how he feels. Look at him. Close your eye for one day, one of them. See how you feel. This shows us that alhamdulillah, we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has granted us all these faculties. And we take it for granted. We don't even understand, we don't realize the gift and the ni'mah of Allah upon us. Day in, day out, we are transgressing. We are fighting with one another. We are doing everything but that which was taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our business deals, in our family problems, in our community affairs, in everything, we are doing whatever we want to do, whatever our brains tell us to do. Subhanallah. What happened to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where did it go? So let us understand, if we want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way to be thankful is to fulfill the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today I want to tell you what I have learned is the most important organ of the body. The tongue, subhanallah. The tongue is by far the most important organ of the body. What is in your brain, no one can know until you talk. Subhanallah. Yes, someone might say the heart is important. But what your heart feels also, it comes out with the tongue, doesn't it? That tongue makes you a Muslim, or it can land you into kufr. That tongue can make you a person who thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is in constant dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a person who speaks rubbish, who swears every day, who remembers shaitan more than he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the tongue. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, who was also seated in the gathering. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about accountability. And he said, you will be accountable for everything you say. And Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, awa inna mu'akhaduna bima naqul? Are we going to be accountable for what we say? We haven't done it. Actions. We haven't done the actions, we have just spoken. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and said, Thakilatka ummuka ya Mu'adh. How can you make such a statement, O Mu'adh? What do you think, O Mu'adh? Thakilatka ummuk, that is an Arabic statement, terminology, which means, basically, what are you talking about? If we were to tell someone, how can you say this? That's the English equivalent. Not equivalent, but we can translate it that way. Wahal يكب الناس على مناخرهم في النار إلا حصائد ألسنتهم. The question Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and do you think that the people will be roasted in the fire of Jahannam because of anything besides their tongues? Subhanallah. And this is what I want to speak about here today. I was told a few minutes of nasiha. I am the first one who needs the nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who fulfill what we say firstly and then what we hear also. It is worse to say something and not to be practical. than to hear something and not to practice. Yet both of them are as important. So, here we have the tongue. Let us take a look at this faculty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has bestowed upon us. This tongue. It is a piece of flesh, and we all know its size, very small. Allah has kept it hidden. Allah has kept it hidden. If your tongue is outside your mouth, that is an abnormality. Look at all our mouths, mashallah, they are closed. Allah keeps it inside. There is a reason. Many reasons. One of them is that you need to control it. Don't take it out for you to move around with your tongue. فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ Allah gives the example of Bal'am ibn Bawra in the Quran. That his example is like the example of a dog. A dog is always panting. The tongue is always out. We have been granted a gift, our tongues are inside. Another thing, they are in a prison. What is that prison? You know, when a person is in prison and they look at you behind the bars and you go there to greet them in the jails. I know I've been to a few of the jails visiting the Muslims, and we should do that. Because indeed it is an ibadah to go out to meet your Muslims within the jails, within the hospitals, to inquire about them. Sometimes they can renegade and leave their deen, because they will say, when I was in need, the Christians came to me and gave me Bibles every day, and the Muslims didn't do anything. We tend to forget. Now the reason why I mentioned a prison is when those people are behind the prison, what do you see? You see these bars. If I were to show you my teeth, they are the bars behind which that tongue is. So your tongue is also behind your teeth. That is a different type of a prison. Why don't we realize? We need to sentence that tongue of ours. The correct sentence. I'm not saying 20 years sentence, but what I'm saying, when it is needed, you speak. When it is not needed, do not speak. This is what we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, Allah says,
وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبُصِرُونَ
Look at yourselves. Don't you see? Look within you. You know, if you were to look in the mirror for a moment, yes, you would pick up the signs of Allah, the presence of Allah, the fact that He is the one who created you. Ask the doctors, they will tell you, subhanallah, how the eye works, how the nose works, how the tongue works, everything. It's amazing. You know these 32 teeth that we have, do they ever bite the tongue? Not normally. Sometimes maybe when we are chewing the food and we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we tend to bite our tongues. It happens when it's too tasty and we want to rush. Don't rush when you are eating. Take your time. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah. So, if you take a look at yourself, you will understand, subhanallah, my tongue, the faculty, that is my, you want to call it foreign minister, meaning it is your liaison between you, this parliament of yours that you have, if we can call it, the body of yours, right? Between your parliament and the rest of the nation, or your country and other countries. There is a spokesman, information minister you want to call it, foreign minister you want to call it, whatever you want to call it. So that spokesman must be a person who is intelligent, a person who has, a president who has, a foreign minister who is not intelligent, their country will be at war all the time. Why? Because they don't know what they are talking about. The president says this and they are saying something else. Or the secrets that happen within the parliament, they go out and release them. To say, tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, this is what is going to happen, and that's what we are going to do to the enemy, etc. We are going to come on this route, etc. You are not supposed to be saying these things. You are foolish. The same applies to us. Take a look at yourself. Allah has kept it closed. You can't see that tongue. Why do you take it out unnecessarily and make yourself ugly? Then that tongue of ours, we should understand that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should constantly be on the tongues. We say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We call out the adhan, we answer the adhan, we read our salah, we read the Quran. For every letter that we read, we are getting ashara hasanat, and maybe more if Allah so wills. 10 rewards and more. That is the tongue. How high is the status of that tongue? How can we then use the same tongue to sway those who work for us? That's the typical example. Someone works for you and next thing, the swear words, if they were used against you, you would probably take out a gun and shoot someone. And the same words are coming out of that tongue that read salah 3 minutes ago for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sami'a Allahu liman hamida.
Allahu Akbar. 5 minutes later you are swearing someone. The same tongue. Do we not think of it in that way? La ilaha illallah. We are Muslimin. We have to be the best of all mankind, because if we are following the sunnah of the best of creation, indeed that sunnah is what will raise us to be the best of mankind. The difficulty is we tend to forget. Here we're calling Allah, Ya Allah, I have this problem. I have the tax man behind me. I have that person behind me. I have this problem in community. I have that problem with this person. Ya Allah, help me, help me. 2 minutes after that, you are swearing your domestic, the one who works in your home, your maid. Is she not a human being? Is he not a human being? That done, don't you feel shy? You know, when we say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, what a powerful dua it is. So powerful, the fire became cold for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted peace and tranquility to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his army when he read that dua. Today, why is it that we are not getting that assistance? We are saying Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil so many times a day. Maybe we are making tasbihat of them. Let me tell you what the problem is. One of the akabirin who visited us in Zimbabwe a few days ago, Qari Amir Hassan, hafizahullah, from Hardoi, he gave a beautiful example. He says, look, when there is a spoon that is napak, are you going to use that spoon in the salam? Are you going to use that spoon to take out the pudding, to take out the other things, the other food? No, you're going to wash the spoon, isn't it? Because you know that if I use a napak spoon to remove that which is good, it's going to make that good also bad, isn't it? There's our spoon, that tongue of ours. We use it is napak with all the swear words. Then you want to say Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, and you expect that that Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil is going to give you the expected result. How? We need to, for a spoon we understand. Do you know why? It's food. It's to do with our stomachs. That's why we understand. But when it comes to the tongue, we don't understand, because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we tend to forget Allah. Let's not be from amongst those whom Allah has said, Nasullaha fanasiyahum. They forgot Allah, so Allah forgot them. We cannot bear a single minute Allah forgetting us. Not even 1 minute, not even a second. Not even the bat of an eyelid. That is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La takilna ila anfusina tarfata ayn. Don't leave us to ourselves, even for a bat of an eyelid. You must be the one who guides us at all times. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this tongue of ours, subhanallah, we need to understand it can be used for good and for bad. If we use it for good, it will lead us in the grave to answering our questions with ease. Do you not know that you are going to be asked questions in the qabr? Man rabbuk? Man nabiyuka wa ma dinuk? What are you going to say? You are used to swear words day in, day out. Day in, day out. What's going to happen? I don't know, I haven't been there. But we have heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the one who is not a practical Muslim, he will say, oh, I heard people saying something, I don't know, I can't remember. What happened? What do you remember? Subhanallah. So let's use this tongue in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the day we die, we can have shahada on our tongues. La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. We need to die with that kalima on our tongues. And Allah says, whosoever, man kana akhiru kalamihi min ad-dunya, la ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah. He will go straight to Jannah, one way, through the green route. Don't we need that? How long are we going to deceive ourselves? This tongue is the most important faculty that you have. Let me tell you, we need to know how to use the tongue, when to use the tongue, what to say, why to say it, to whom to talk to. How much to talk? All this is discussed in the Quran, in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as in the books of the ulama and fuqaha. Let me give you a simple example. The verse I read at the beginning of this lecture. You know, Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was old, Allah gave him good news of a child. I'm sure we all should be knowing that. Now, for some reason, maybe he felt that, oh, I am old, my wife is old, how am I going to face the people? So he said, Rabbi ja'alni ayah. Oh Allah, grant me a sign.
Qala ayatuka alla tukalliman nas thalathata ayyamin illa ramza.
Allah said, your sign is that you will not speak to people except through signals for 3 days. Now, there was a problem. He wanted to solve something, but Allah told him the manner to solve the problem is silence. What does this teach us? This teaches us that sometimes it is better to remain quiet. You have a problem. If you feel by trying to talk and solving the problem, you will create 5 problems out of 1. Learn from what Allah told Zakariya alayhi salam. Keep quiet. Allah. And what did Allah say after that?
وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحْ بِالْعَشِيِّ وَالْإِبْكَارِ.
Remember your Rabb. Be engaged in the remembrance of your Rabb. And do his tasbih day and night. So if you are remembering Allah, Allah will remember you. He will solve your problem without you talking. If you have the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will remember you. So Allah told Zakariya alayhi salam, keep quiet, speak to them with signals, and you remember that Allah is there for you. Be engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it is. And what happened? When he came out, his problem was solved. 3 nights, 3 days, it was finished. Everyone knew Yahya alayhi salatu was salam that was to be born was a sign from Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already told Zakariya alayhi salam that Yahya alayhi salam is going to be a Nabi. He's going to be dedicated to Allah. He will stay away from women. Nabiyan wa hasura. Allah has mentioned this in the Quran. And let me give you another example just after that in the Quran. Maryam alayhi salatu wa salam, an untouched woman. Suddenly she found herself pregnant with Isa alayhi salam. She was worried. How is she going to face the people? In fact, the Quran says,
Ya Maryam, laqad ji'ti shay'an fariya. Ya ukhta Harun, ma kana abuki imra'a saw, wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya.
They began to accuse her. We all know that the Jews, up to today, they accuse her. And the Quran says, they said, Ya Maryam, your father wasn't like this. Your family is a good family. How come you've done this? Immorality, act of immorality. But she knew that this is from Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell her? There was a stage when she was about to deliver, she was so angry. She made a sort of a dua saying, Ya Allah, I wish I was dead before this. And Allah says, no. This is mentioned in the Quran. And Allah told her,
فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِي إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا.
If the people come to you, if you see the people, tell them, I have declared a fast. For the sake of Allah, I'm not going to talk to a single human being. All you do is point to the child. She was also told, don't try and solve this problem. It is too big for you to solve. When you go out and you speak, they have accused you of zina. If you go out and you try and clarify your name, do you think they are going to accept? They need a sign from Allah, not from me or you, not from Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. They need a miracle from Allah. Today, if a woman or a young girl was to come in pregnant and she began to point, would we believe her? We wouldn't. Until we saw a sign from Allah. And obviously now that it's not there. The nubuwwah is finished. Risala is complete with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her, keep quiet, remain silent. All you do, point to that child.
قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا.
عيسى عليه السلام spoke, I am the servant of Allah. A child spoke.
يكلم الناس في المهد وكهلا.
He spoke to the people from that very age of the cradle. That was the sign of Allah. But what happened to the mother who was accused? Did Allah tell her, go out and clarify your name? No, keep quiet. What do we learn from this? The same thing. Sometimes you are accused. Sometimes there are difficulties. There are problems. There is something in society. If you feel that your anger is too much, if you feel that you cannot control yourself, if you feel that you are not competent enough to solve that problem, and you feel that you will create 5 problems out of one, 2 problems out of one, then the Quran teaches you to be silent. Keep quiet. Make the dhikr of Allah. Now this doesn't mean when you arrive at the immigration somewhere and they ask you your name and you keep quiet and you start making the dhikr of Allah. This is not what I'm saying. Let's not be foolish. We should understand within the limits. If there is a difficulty, there is a problem, and we feel we are not competent enough, go and make mashwara. That is another sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for in the meantime, keep quiet. What do we tell the police if they come to us? Wait, let me see my lawyers. You have the right to remain silent. They tell that to you straight up. You have the right to remain silent. Well, they're supposed to tell it to you. Then we keep quiet because we know, hey, we'll get locked up. Why don't we think that we will get locked up in the prison of Jahannam? Nay, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we forget Him. And we blabber, and we talk, and we say things, and we create not 5 problems out of one, 10 problems out of nothing. Out of nothing. This is what we are doing today. Because we don't understand, this tongue is very important. It is a sword. If you are not going to use it properly, it's going to cut you. If you are not going to keep it in the remembrance of Allah, it will keep you occupied in remembrance of shaitan. Remember this. And we should understand one thing. The anger that a person has normally is vented in a few ways. The anger is vented in a few ways. One of them, I'm going to mention one of them, is that they lose control of their tongue. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us so many different things when you are angry. If you are angry, drink water. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. If you are standing, sit down. If you are sitting, lie down, etc. I have actually come across a narration which says, keep water in your mouth. Hold water in your mouth. And I was reading it. Someone told me it's a very weak narration. And I said, look, it makes sense. Because if you are holding water in your mouth, what does that do to you? You are silent. You won't say anything. How many people have divorced their wives in the state of anger? And that's really the divorce has occurred. Go to the ulama and ask them. ثَلَاثٌ جِدُّهُنَّ جِدٌّ وَهَزْلُهُنَّ جِدٌّ. 3 things. Whether you are joking about them, whether you are serious about them, whether you, whatever condition you set them in, they occur. نِكَاح وَالطَّلَاق وَالْعِتَاق. 3 things. Nikah, talaq, and when you are freeing a slave, you can't just say, you're free. No, you're not. You're free. No, you're not. A'udhu billah. That's a joke. It's like telling a woman, you're divorced. No, you're not. You're divorced. No, who do you think you are? This is the tongue. Control it. And when it comes to fellow human beings, understand. Hold that water in your mouth if you have to, if that is a remedy. Hold it in your mouth. You won't say anything. Keep quiet. إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. In the first accident, the first smash, that is when the real sabr is. Someone damages your car. What is a car? It is this dunya. Today it is with you. Are you going to park your car in your grave also to say, Ya Allah, I'm here with my vehicle. A'udhu billah. Where do you want to take it? Your body is going to rot. What about that car? We are worried about our vehicle. Someone knocks it. Suddenly there is something known as road rage. They'll take out a gun and point it at the Muslim brother, Muslim sister. And we'll point it at them and swear the biggest words. We didn't realize 3 minutes, 5 minutes. We are coming from the masjid, Salatul Jumu'ah. A'udhu billah. We were saying Astaghfirullah. Now we are saying, this is that salana I'm talking about. We are taking out something good with a najis spoon. So what happens? Everything becomes najis. This is what's happening. Let's understand this. So, The sabr, the true sabr, is when an incident first occurs. You need to have patience at that moment. Someone dies, don't start suddenly, oh, why did this happen? Why did that happen? This, that. No. The comments, hold your tongue. Reserve your comments at that time. If your heart is sore, hold your comments. Make the dhikr of Allah. Engage that tongue in something before you are, it engages you in something else. Understand this. And this is the nasiha I give myself firstly, and then yourselves. Control your tongue. And when you speak, Allah says that even the Ahlul Kitab.
وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ.
Do not debate with Ahlul Kitab except with that which is beautiful, the best.
أُدْعُ إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ.
When you are calling towards Allah, call with hikmah, with wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is when you have a problem and you are trying to solve it, not creating five out of one, as we are saying. وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. And speak good speech, encourage the people to do good. You know, to sit and plan what you are going to say is more important than saying what you are saying. Sometimes you want to say something good. You want to tell someone, read your salah. But if you tell him, I don't see you in the masjid, what's your problem? Maybe you're going to the mandir. What do you think? Is that a way of speaking? The same man, you can say, MashaAllah, I'm also trying to go to the masjid. You know, let's go together so we can both get encouragement. I'm weak, man, you know, I'm weaker than you. Who knows, maybe he's reading his salah, it's more accepted than ours. Let's go together. Bring him to the masjid. Isn't that hikmah? And different methods apply to different people. Study the person you're talking to. And see what method will be most appropriate to him or her. A member of your family, a daughter of the home, a sister, etc. Sometimes different methods apply. You cannot lose your cool. And this is the most important thing. Don't ever lose your anger, meaning lose your temper. Don't lose it. This is why, you know, when we have the same Qari Amir Hassan from Hardoi, Hafizahullah, he gave me a very good example, another one. He says, look, when you have a tijori, when you have a little tijori, a small, say, you know, those boxes where you keep your money. Small one, you put one lock, isn't it? A little bigger one, maybe you put two locks. A trunk, you put two locks. Then you put three. It's a big room, strong room. You turn the thing, you know, you got one lever, two lever, three lever. And you got these different types of locks. Then if it's a bank, they'll keep two keys with two separate people. So you both got to be there at the same time in order to open. They put more locks when it's more important, bigger. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, Awsini ya Rasulullah. Give me advice, Ya Rasulullah says. He put one lock on the tongue. He said, La taghdab. Don't get angry. Now, why am I saying one lock on the tongue? Because La taghdab, to get angry, is normal and natural. The Rasul Aisha radiallahu anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not used to get angry for dunya reasons. He used to get angry if someone had sworn Allah, or for the sake of Allah. He used to, Al ghadab lillah. He used to get angry for the sake of Allah, but that anger was controlled. Imam Shafi rahimahullah says that when you get angry, to know how much to get angry is a fun on its own. It's a fun. It's an art on its own to know how much to get angry. Your child does something, you can raise your eyebrows, give them one scolding, and that's enough. Don't now go on and on and on for 20 minutes. The child might suffer mental illness after that. Yes. To know how much to get angry. So, when you are angry, it's very closely controlled, meaning connected to the tongue. Rasulullah ﷺ put one lock, la taghdab. So the man thought, okay, awsini ya Rasulullah, give me some more advice, ya Rasulullah. He said, la taghdab. And he repeated it a third time, he said, la taghdab. How many locks did he put on the tongue? Three. Now, there is a master key that we are using to open all three locks. Every time anything happens, all the locks are open. Where they are, we don't know. We forget. A'udhu billah. Let us go home today and think and contemplate. It is a jihad to control your tongue and control your anger. It is a jihad. If you can succeed to control your tongue, control your anger, when you speak, how you are speaking, someone has stolen. Let's say someone working for you has stolen. How you react might land you in prison. They will come out innocent. And it's happened. I don't know about here, but it's happened. Tomorrow you will have to employ them, and on top of that you'll have to pay them, and on top of that you'll have to see them every day because of how you reacted. And you swore them and you did this and subhanAllah. Think a little bit. Allah has given you the brain. That is the difference between you and the rest of creation is the brain. And this tongue of yours. So why don't we use this to let us go forward and to let us be an example. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who control their tongues. And may He make us from amongst those who control their temper. Those who don't get angry, and if they get angry for the sake of Allah, they know how much to get angry. You know, there are four types of people who get angry. The one who gets angry very quickly, and once he's angry, it's hard to get him back on track. That's the first type. The other one is he gets angry very quickly, but he also gets happy back again. A minute later he's alright. Okay, never mind. He laughs at it. That's another one. And there is another one, the third category, the one it takes very long for him to get angry. But when he gets angry, oh, you got to go away. And the last category, that is what we should all be. It takes very long to get him angry. And if he gets angry, immediately he cools off again. That is the best of all the categories. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from that. And may He make us even better than that. Ameen. It is in His hands. And remember one thing, there is something known as muhasaba, muraqaba. We need to constantly take account of ourselves. This is when we will solve the problem. Otherwise we won't. And this is why the ulama of tasawwuf, they always encourage us, sit down. Sit down and meditate. Sit down and take account of yourself. Have you got angry? Have you done this? Have you done that? And think for a moment. And alhamdulillah, if we do it correctly, we will be able to eradicate the ills and evils within us. And remember, if you can control your tongue, do you know what? You will solve ghiba, namima, buhtan, all the slandering, backbiting, everything will solve. In fact, your jealousy, your hasad, your bold, your adawa, all these ills, they will all go away. Because you will control your tongue and you will keep it in the memory of Allah. Allah will remember you and Allah will keep you protected from shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst His chosen worshippers. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last words before we die. May He take us straight through to Jannah and may He grant us the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. May He bring us together with Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhum and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in together with the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. Indeed, He has said in the Quran, those who do good, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا ذلك الفضل من الله وكفى بالله عليما. Those who do good, they will be with the Anbiya, with the Shuhada, with those who have high ranks, the Saliheen. And Allah says, can there be anything better than that Sohba? We are not Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dunya, but who says we will not be Sahaba in the Akhirah? We can be with him, is that not correct? We can be with him on the day of Qiyamah, we can be from amongst his companions. In the sense, not the Sahaba we know, as in the Sahaba of the dunya, but Sahaba of the Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us all in Jannah in the same way He has gathered us here. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. اللهم صل على نبينا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وإمامنا محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن سهلا إذا شئت. لا إله إلا أنت، أنت العزيز الحكيم. اللهم إنك أنت الله القوي المتين. اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم أصلح شباب المسلمين، اللهم أصلح نساء المسلمين، اللهم أصلحنا جميعا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم إنا عبيدك بنو عبيدك بنو إمائك، نواصينا بيدك، ماض فينا حكمك، عدل فينا قضاؤك. نسألك اللهم بكل اسم هو لك سميت به به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك، أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا ونور صدورنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا وغمومنا وقائدنا وسائقنا إلى جناتك جنات النعيم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا همّا إلا فرجته، ولا كربا إلا نفسته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا ولدا إلا أصلحته، ولا ضالا إلا هديته. اللهم ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا أعنتنا على قضائها ويسرتها لنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله. اللهم اجمعنا بالمصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم القيامة. اللهم أرنا بأعدائنا عجائب قدرتك فإنهم لا يعجزونك. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الكفر والكافرين ودمر أعداء الدين. اللهم هذا الدعاء ومنك الإجابة وهذا الجهد وعليك التكلان، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.